Boy, I appreciate those songs. I really do. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And there's something really powerful about that statement. And we want to look into that just a little bit tonight. You know, this morning we talked about Jesus, the resurrection and the life, and the power of God to be able to take a man 3-4 days in the grave, a man who was decaying in his body, and he just said, "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what happened, don't you? He came forth. And after they brought him out and took those grave clothes off, and Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go. Set him free." And that was an important thing to remember, that Jesus has power over death. And this, you know, this evening, everybody here knows Albert Einstein, I'm assuming. Albert Einstein, for a long time, he would go from city to city to city to city, preaching or teaching or lecturing, I guess I should say, the same exact lecture at every city he went to. And the driver that drove him everywhere, he said to Mr. Einstein one time, he says, "Mr. Einstein, you know, I have heard your speech so many times that I could do it myself. I know that speech word for word." And Mr. Einstein, "Okay, let's hear you do that word for word. In fact, we're coming up to this next convention. Let's change clothes and you go in as me and you give that speech word for word." And you know what? That driver changed clothes with Mr. Einstein and he went in and he gave that speech word for word for word, and he didn't skip a beat. No humps, no bumps, no misses. The one thing, though, that he didn't know is that at the end of every lecture, there's questions and answers. And so the grad student comes up to this driver and he asks him a very simple question, technically, I guess, in their minds. And he didn't know the answer, but you know what he did is he said, "That question is so easy. That question is so easy. Listen, I'm going to let my driver answer that question." Isn't that something? And then you think about that, and what it boils down to is that the one thing is to know word for word a speech. It's something else to be changed by it. It's one thing to know word for word a speech, but it's something else to explain it. And it's the same thing with the Bible. You can know the word of the Bible. In fact, I remember watching Dick Cavett one time, who had a man on there who memorized the Bible from cover to cover. He could quote you any book, chapter, verse. You just said book, chapter, verse. You know, Ezekiel 10:17. Bang, he knew it. Leviticus 21:5, he knew it. But you know what? He didn't know it. He lived by it. No, he didn't live by it. He knew it word for word, but he actually didn't believe it. And so what we want to do today is, this evening and the little time that we have, we want to try to get just, again, a little bit closer. Enough of the stories of the Bible. We all know those. And in fact, there might be members here or people here today that aren't members that know all the stories. They've heard it for years. They know all the facts and figures here, but they don't know the explanation and the power behind it. And so we want to be changed by the Word. We want to get close to Him. We want to be able to come to understand that because He lives, we can be changed. There's nothing that can stop you. Because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. There isn't a no in our vocabulary when it comes to, you know, speaking of the things of God. What can you do? There's nothing we can't do. We want to be able to understand that more fully. And so we want to consider, there were two men in the book of Luke, chapter 24, if you want to turn there with me. There were two men in this chapter who, after the resurrection, even though they knew what He said, they knew the Lord talked about being resurrected that 3 days later, you know, I'm going to be crucified, but 3 days later, they didn't get it. The words were up here, but they didn't get it. And they walked away from that crucifixion and the burial, and they were walking away. And they didn't get it. But they were changed. And we want to look at that, how it happened. They were changed because of the resurrected Savior. And more important, we see how valuable that is to each one of us today. You know, the Lord's Day, the world kind of pauses and it gathers together. God's people gather together and they remember Jesus. Of course, we remembered His death. But the Bibles give us record of His life. We remember His death, but we come here to worship through Him, the Father in heaven. And so we're not celebrating with Easter eggs a special day of the week or a month or a year. We're not dressing up in fancy clothes, chocolate bunnies. No, we're remembering that we serve a resurrected Savior. Indeed, He is risen. And because of that fact, He's different than any other who was before Him. He's more powerful than any other who came after Him. Because He did something that no man could ever do. And that is to be crucified, dead and buried, and 3 days later to be risen from that grave. And what we want to do is just be reminded. That's all. Just be reminded of some of the things that happened along that road. Things that give us the insight and the understanding that we serve Christ. And so it's not something we do once a year. It's something we should be doing every day of our life. And it's something, of course, we do for sure once a week. A constant reminder. He, in fact, is risen. Now, some of you may remember on April 15th, 2013, the Boston Marathon. People at the end of that marathon, the bomb blew up. People were killed, hundreds and hundreds of people injured. Every year at that place, on that day and time, they come together and they read the names of the dead and they ring a bell. And they remember. And that happens all around the world. You remember 9/11. You believe that? 9/11? In September 2020, 9/11 will be commemorating the 19th anniversary of that terrible day. And so it isn't that we don't remember things, it's the important things that we tend to forget. And when we go to our Bibles as Christians, we can see that the Lord was killed. He was innocent. He had no guilt whatsoever. And yet they took Him and they crucified Him. And they did it in such a horrible, terrible way. And yet, He no longer is in the grave. Some of the songs we sing, remember, up from the grave He arose. You sing that excited because you know that's true. One day, living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Because we serve a living Savior. But the song that we sang today, Because He Lives, this is what we want to think about today. That's what we want to remember, because the fact that He lives is what changed so many lives. And we want to be able to see that. Look at verse 6 in Luke chapter 24, verse 6. If you're looking at this chapter, you realize that what's happening here is it's the first day of the week, the third day after the death and burial of Christ, and it happened that they went to the grave and they're trying to find Jesus. He's not there. And they were afraid. They were perplexed. In verse 4, it tells us that two men stood by them in shining garments. And they asked Him in verse 5, they asked Him, who do you seek? And why do you seek Him among the dead? in verse 6, He is not here, but He's risen. He's not here, but He's risen. And what's remarkable is the very next word, remember. And you know what's sad is that they shouldn't have even looking there at that tomb. They should not have been going to the tomb. Because Jesus told them, 3 days, I'm going to come up from the grave. 3 days, I'm going to be risen. 3 days, I'm going to defeat sin and death. 3 days, this tabernacle is going to be rebuilt in 3 days. But they didn't remember. And remembering is part of the process. But then you look at verse 7. After these angels told them, verse 7, we read those words. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise again. That's what they remembered. They remember the words of Jesus. And as we look at this account here in Luke, we want to think about this. Luke chapter 24, at verse 17. Jesus said to them, now listen, what He said, He's talking to a couple of men. As they had, all these people were gathered at the tomb, Jesus isn't there, they're all excited, you know, nobody can find Him. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and other women were with them, and Peter and so on, and their words seem like idle tales when they tell people. Peter arose up in verse 12 and he ran to the tomb stooping down and he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves and he departed marveling to himself at what had happened. And so these people had seen the tomb. They saw the fact that Jesus wasn't there. And as we look at this chapter from verse 13, it tells us there were two of them who were traveling that same day, to a village called Emmaus, just 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they walked together all of these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and He went to them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. And I would put it to you that one of the reasons their eyes were restrained is because they didn't remember. They didn't remember. They didn't contemplate. They didn't understand. And in verse 17, He is Jesus. He says, what kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? You know why they were sad? Because they didn't remember. He's risen. They shouldn't have had to do, on the third day they should have just had a party. On the third day they should have all come together and prayed. And on the third day they should have given glory to God because they had seen all these things we talked about this morning, all the miracles, signs and the wonders, all the teachings of Jesus, how many times He overthrew the attempts of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They should have remembered all those things and said, yes, 3 days later, we have reason to rejoice. Even if I don't see Him, I have reason to rejoice. But no, they're on this road and they're sad. So, we think about these two men. At verse 17, their conversation is sad. And one of these, in verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, he answered and he said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, Jesus now, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers and delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him." They should have stopped way back here at verse 19. Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people. They should have remembered. And maybe they wouldn't have been so sad. Maybe they would have said, "We need to find out where He's resurrected. Let's go find Him." In verse 21, we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. I want you to think about that. It's the third day. That should have been bells ringing, you know, ding dong, third day. What's that mean? Wait, didn't I hear that somewhere before? The third, something's going to happen on the third day. What is it? Oh, Jesus. The prophet, the mighty one who does the deeds and mighty in word and deed and before God and all the people, Jesus, He used that term, the third day. What was He saying? Why are these guys sad? You know, we may remember some sad journeys of our own. Maybe somebody that you, as you were a young person and you broke up with a relationship and you spent a couple of days sad. If you're a lady and if you're a guy, you probably forgot about it before you left the house. But sometimes sad things happen. Maybe your baseball team lost. I know when I golfed with my son last week, he missed a shot terribly and he was sad. He was kind of angry. A job interview that you didn't get. But see, what you're forgetting is the third day. We were hoping that He was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day. And they didn't remember. You know, the third day. What the third day represents is that door opened up, that stone rolled away, and Jesus left that tomb. That's what the third day reminds us of. Remember the third day. Jesus said something was going to happen on that day. That makes the third day important. You'd think you'd spend a little time contemplating that, the things that He said. Early in His ministry, in John chapter 2 and at verse 19, early in the ministry, Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In Matthew chapter 12 and at verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." 3 days. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. "And He began to teach them, and the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." 3 days. They're on the road sad. On the third day, they should have been excited. They should have stopped and said, "Why are we? What are we walking for? Let's run. Let's get back there to that hill. Let's find that tomb. We're going to watch Him arise." No, they were all home. All they remembered was the crucifixion. All they remembered was the burial. All they remembered is that He died. Let's not do that. Let's remember He lived. Let's remember He's a risen Savior. Over and over and over again, Jesus talks. Something was going to happen in 3 days. You know, there's still, if Jesus hadn't come up to them, they'd still be walking on that road. And they talked to Jesus about the three proofs of the resurrection. That's what's really, really amazing about this account. You know, they're walking only 7 miles. They're talking as they walk. They're actually talking to Jesus. And when you think about what was being done there, the report from the women who first went to the tomb, and they knew they were there. It says they were of them, and they heard that report that He's risen. Number one, they heard that. Eyewitness, He's not there. We looked, the tomb's empty. Peter went in, he saw the grave clothes lying there, but no body. Two, there was a voice from an angel. Two angels technically were there, but one angel said, "Hey," verse 23, what did he say? "They didn't find Him. He's risen. He's risen." And remember, like others, like Peter, he also went to the tomb, found it empty. 3 days. They forgot all about 3 days. So at verse 27 here, it tells us that Jesus, in the beginning, He begins to expound on what was going to happen. He says to them at verse 25, O foolish ones, of slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered in these things and to enter into his glory? And he began here at Moses and all the prophets and expounded to them all that the scriptures have to say concerning him. And you notice what happens here. Verse 22 and 23. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. They didn't find his body. Why? Because he's alive. He's a risen Savior on that third day. He's a risen Savior. And certain of those who were with them, they found it just as the women said. And so they knew. Why did they not remember? He wasn't there. Why would you not remember? You know, it's kind of like it is in the world today. People hear about Jesus. They preach the gospel that they're living in their sins. They need the Savior. They need His blood to be saved from their sins so that they won't spend eternity in hell separated from God. They learn about Jesus Christ who came into this world, suffered and died upon a cross, arose up from that grave, ascended up in heaven, where He now sits at the right hand of God. No other person can say that. And yet, the words don't sink in. It's the same thing as a simple thing like 3 days. They're not connecting dots here. They're not connecting dots. At verse 31, though, something remarkable happens. Jesus, He's with them. He draws near to the village. He tells them that I'm going to just go on from here. And they say, no, no. You know, the day's far spent. You come. They constrained him. Stay with us. And in verse 30, it came to pass that he sat at the table with them and he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they knew him and then he vanished from their sight. 3 days they couldn't remember. But when that bread was broken, they remembered. That kind of makes me believe that they were at the table and they understood what that meant, the breaking of the bread. But he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, now listen, did your heart not burn? I love that. Did your heart not burn within us while we walked? Or while he talked with us along the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. When I talk with people sometimes, I feel that my heart's just burning with the scriptures. I want to say the right things, do the right things, handle things the right way because that's so important. That soul is so important. That soul that I'm talking to, a perfect stranger, somebody that I've known for years, it doesn't matter. That soul is worth more than the whole world and everything in the world, including the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heavens. And your heart needs to burn. And they heard it. And their heart, they didn't understand it. Did not our heart burn within us while we talked and walked? And all because they couldn't remember the third day. But we remember. We want to connect all those dots. Their eyes were open. The dots, Jesus connected the dots for them. Why are you sad? I've defeated sin and death. I'm proof, living proof, that the devil has no power over you anymore. All you have to do is remember the important things. And so, it says that they rose up, verse 33 through 35, they rose up that very hour, and what did they do? They returned to Jerusalem and found 11. They found the 11. If they'd have remembered the 3 days, they might have gone back to Jerusalem when he came out of the tomb and they might have seen him there. But no, it was after he opened their eyes, they found the 11. And those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Got to remember. The Lord had risen. He appeared to Simon Peter. And they told him about the things that had happened. You see what's happening here? They turned right around that very same night. They decided, we saw him, our heart was burning, it was the Lord, he vanished away, but he's alive. I can't see him with my eyes, but he's alive. And that's where we read the words, and the words, they can be puppet words, and you can just repeat after me. And yet, when you use those words, and those words are in your heart, and they burn, and they cause you to believe, and you act upon that belief. That's what it means to remember and to be have those words relative to you. And with joy, they're telling these people, you know, that they're exclaiming great joy because they saw him, because they know he lives. You know, because he lives, you and I are different. Those of us that are members of the church, we're different because he lives. Because he lives, there's an exclamation point in our Bibles, a reality that connects the words to truth. There is a power in the gospel. And we know this power simply because he lives. The resurrection changed everything. You know, Paul talked about if there was no resurrection, we'd be men most miserable. We would. Why are we here? There are people that believe the 80-70 doctrine, and I don't want to get into that, but they believe Jesus already came back. It's all done. Well, why are we here? Well, what are we here for? In Romans chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4, concerning the Son of Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, declared to be the Son of God with power of the Holy Spirit by the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, there have been other teachers before Jesus. There'll be teachers after Jesus. There's teachers now. And other good people before Jesus and after Jesus. Some people before and after who claim to be God Himself. But nobody can prove that they were buried 3 days in the grave and resurrected except the Christ. We analyze that resurrection. You know, a person must be really dead in order to be resurrected. And we know that person, Jesus Christ, is really dead. We know He was real. He's written about in all kinds of literature, not just the Bible. You know that Jesus of Nazareth lived in that time, in that town, and that He indeed was crucified. And we're not talking about the kind of dead that's sort of dead. Or he's pretty dead. We're talking about dead. In Mark chapter 15 at verse 39, what does he say? That was a trained Roman soldier. They came to break the legs of those people on that cross. And when they saw Jesus was already dead, what did they do? You know, they stabbed him with a spear. And when the centurion stood opposite and he heard Jesus cry out and breathe the last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." In the centurion's book, this man was dead. He knew death. In John chapter 19, verses 32 through 37, again, that's where they came and broke the legs of the people. And they saw Jesus and they saw he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs, but they pierced his side with a spear. And they saw the water and the blood immediately come out. Verse 34, that's proof that he was dead. They pierced his side. And one must, the second thing, one must really come out of the grave if we're talking about resurrection. Not just the spirit. A lot of people believe that. Not just an aberration, but the physical body. And Jesus came out of that grave in a physical body. He himself isn't there anymore. In John chapter 20, in verses 19 and 20, we know that Jesus himself, you know, the same evening, that first day of the week when the doors were shut, what happened? He went in there where the disciples were cowering down in fear because they didn't remember and believe the third day. And he walks right through the wall. And he appears to those 11 men. Show me your hands and feet, Thomas said. And he showed them. And the disciples were glad because they saw the Lord. You know, they could have been glad if they'd have remembered that third day. It's not a vision, by the way. It's not a Photoshop picture. It's not just some story that somebody made up. And I've mentioned this before. Thomas put his hand in his side. He saw and touched the holes in his hands or wrists. He knew that was Jesus. And they died for that. Remember that? If you want to connect the dots, people were crucified, they were hung upside down, their heads were cut off, their skin was peeled off like a fish filleted, they were burned at the stake, and all kinds of horrible, terrible tortures, and they died because they saw the risen Savior. They were not willing to deny because they knew there was something far greater than anything in this life. We serve a risen Savior. On that third day, Jesus rose, and we know that to be true now, and nothing you can do to me is going to change that. Why is this book here? I mean, seriously, why is this book here? I could, in my lifetime, give you an entire list of books that were taken out of the public school system, considered bad books. And I can show you a lot of books that are in there now that are bad books. Why is this book here? Because we serve a risen Savior with power. And the gospel of Christ is going to be here, and it's going to be on the earth. And all we got to do is remember and connect the dots. People saw Him. And they remembered. And it gave them power, even over death, the fear of death. You think about those things. You know, if you have to have proof, right there it is. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to them, "For I have delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and by the 12, and after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once." Remember, connect the dots. Connect the dots. Because He lives. And the cemetery, let's remember this, the cemetery is not our end. There is no end here. You know, you think about the cemetery. On the last page of your Bible, of the book of Revelation, let's see what it says. The last page. You know, you read a novel or something, and the very last words are the end. What's it say here? "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." It doesn't say the end. It says there's more coming. You got to remember that. Because of the third day, because of the resurrection, here it's talking about Jesus himself saying, "Surely I am coming quickly." And then John, it says, "Lord Jesus, even so, Lord Jesus, come." And how can the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all And how can you say amen to that if he's dead? It doesn't say the end. In Genesis 3 and 15, there was a beginning of all this. God's going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and bruise your heel or head, and you shall bruise his heel. That described Jesus and Satan and the battle that was going to take place. And listen to me, the greatest weapon. It's not temporary false teaching. It's his death. Babies die, teens die, old people die, young people die. We expect people to die, even when they're not ready. Some people on vacation, they died, they never got home. Some people go to a church service, they die, they never come home. Death comes knocking at the door. Whether we accept it or not, death comes. Hebrews 9:27, we looked at that this morning. It's appointed on all men to die once. But you know what? You don't worry. Because we remember that third day. Because he lives, there just simply is no end. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He did. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? You know, that word Hades is actually the word Thanatos. It's the same word as O death. In a sense, he's saying, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? Because there is no death for those who are in Christ. Remember the third day. Where is that sting of death? We go to the cemetery, people can be smiling and singing because they know that by connecting the dots, that third day proves that when we pass from this life, there's something waiting on the other side. It's God. There's a door that we eventually will go through after Jesus comes back. The dead, they're just waiting for Jesus. The same as we are. You know, Lazarus and Abraham, the book of Luke, chapter 16. You read that and you got to get this. They're not dead. You know, the rich man's looking up, talking to Abraham. Abraham has Lazarus in his bosom. And that man that had died physically is talking to Abraham, you know, let him come down and put his finger in the water. You know, I'm burning and this is terrible over here. I want to get a word out to my brothers. I got to get a word out. Take over there and just talk to my brothers. No. He's dead physically, but his spirit lives on. And the same thing with Lazarus. If we have Jesus, you have nothing to fear. You connect the dots the third day. If we walk with Jesus, if we talk with Jesus, there's nothing but a door on the other side. On the other side of this physical life is eternity. And that eternity is either eternity awaiting to see the face of God or awaiting to be cast away from God. It's up to you if you connect the dots the third day. And we'll see His face, Revelation 22:4. If we're faithful and if we connect the dots and we let these words be relative, we'll connect the dots. Because He lives, I'm changed. You know, Peter, we were redeemed from corruptible things, aimless conduct, traditions of your fathers, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot and blemish. God has lavished us with blessings in Christ Jesus. We have redemption through His blood, connect the dots, because on that third day He rose. The gift that keeps on giving. That's Jesus. It's one thing to be near the cross. It's another thing to be near the blood of Jesus. If you connect the dots, you'll see there's a difference. There's something relative going on there. I know people that go spend tens of thousands of dollars to go to Jerusalem to walk on the roads where Jesus walked. And they get a spiritual high out of that. They want to see where they think he was buried. They want to see the temple where maybe he walked and touched a wall. And they want to touch that wall and think, man, Jesus touched that wall. And the whole time they're not letting Jesus touch their heart. Because they're not connecting the dots. 3 days. 3 days. I got to use this hand. 3 days, because if I use this hand, it's only 2.5. 3 days. You got to remember that. You know, that made me think in the book of Colossians. Turn to Colossians just for a second here. In the book of Colossians here, chapter 2, at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Just count those days. Well, there it is. Because He lives, I can live differently. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and ungodly in this present age. I can live different than I used to. Doesn't mean I had to be a bad person before. I could be a very good person. I'm just living better because I think about those 3 days. The grace of God. I think about what Paul said to the Corinthians. All manner of sin, and some were such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified. You see, I can change. I can be different from the world that I used to live in. Why? Because of that third day. Because He lives. You can live holy because He's holy. And then it's written, be holy for I am holy. You can be merciful because He was merciful. And it is written, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, you can change. You can live righteously, justly. You can change. In fact, you can love because He loved us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. For we loved Him because the one who raised up from the grave on that third day first loved us. Because He lives. There's not anything we can't do. There's nothing we can't do. You know, there was an account in the book of Acts of an Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian is on the road heading home from Jerusalem, and he's reading a scroll of Isaiah. And the angel has told Philip to run over there and catch up with this Ethiopian eunuch. And he does, and he catches up with that chariot, and the chariot stops. Or maybe he's running alongside, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? Are you able to connect the dots? And he didn't understand. He wasn't able to connect the dots. And so Philip went on from that point in the Scriptures, Isaiah 53, and he preached Jesus. And as they're going down the road, that eunuch says, there's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And he says, if you believe. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God. From the preaching, he became relevant. From the preaching, he understood who Isaiah was talking about. And when Philip explained it to him, he connected the dots and he realized he had to make a change. If reading the Bible is all you have to do to go to heaven, then keep the chariot going. He was reading the Bible. If all you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart, keep the chariot going. You don't need to stop. If all you have to do is believe in Jesus, then why stop the chariot? If all you have to do is say a little prayer, why stop the chariot? If all you have to do is be baptized as a baby or even as an adult, if that's all you have to do, why stop the chariot? But he did stop. because he connected the dots, because he was looking at the S-O-N and not the M-A-N. And he realized he needed to be right with God. Just quickly, you know, Carnegie University is a pretty prestigious college, university, put a lot of smart people, and there were a group of young people from Carnegie, and they were heading out to California. And they're in their car, and they're taking turns driving, and one of the students gets behind the wheel, the other students are sleeping in the back, and he's driving along the road, and he has to get gas, and he notices a gas station over here, so he turns his car around, and he gets gas over here, he gets back in his car, and he just continues on his trip. And he's just driving along, driving along. One of the smart students wakes up in the back and he sees the sun coming up here. And he puts two and two together. He connects the dots and he says, wait, the sun, we're going east. California's west. So what did they do? These students got all together. They pulled the car off the side of the road and they got into a council and they all started talking together. What should we do? You know, that's how people are today. Because they see the sun, S-O-N, and they go, well, what should I do? It's pretty simple. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of sins and live the rest of your life remembering that third day. Because there's power in the resurrection. If you have need tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.